And welcome to Gala Precision Engineering Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand conference over to Mr. Rohan Barnawal from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to Mr. Rohan.
Hello and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets, I thank you all for joining into the Q4 and full year FY26 earnings conference call of Gala Precision Engineering Limited. Today from the management, we have Mr. Balakrishan Jalan, Full-Time Director, Mr. Satish Kotwani, Full-Time Director, Mr. Srinivas Giridhar, CFO. So without any further delay, I will hand over the call to Mr. Balakrishan Jalan for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2026. In the interest of some of the people who are new to the company, let me first give a brief overview of the company. Gala Precision is the preferred manufacturer of the high-quality precision components. We serve various sectors like renewable energy, industrial, and mobility. Geographically, we are diversified across sales in India, Europe, and USA. We supply to OEM, Tier 1, and channel partners. We manufacture customized products of over 800 SKUs to serve almost 175 active global customers across 25 countries. Our facilities are fully equipped with advanced technologies and integrated capabilities for design, development, and manufacturing of diverse product portfolios. To further strengthen our manufacturing footprint and expand our product offering, we have established a new fastener manufacturing facility in Chennai with an installed capacity of 4,600 metric tons. The plant is focused on manufacturing high-tensile fasteners, including bolts, complement our existing product portfolio and enhancing our ability to cater to growing customer requirement. During FY26, the plant operated at around 35% utilization, and we expect utilization level to improve meaningfully in FY27. We also commenced phase two CapEx at Chennai facility to support future growth opportunities. From the revenue mix perspective, for the year, BSS remained our largest contributor at approximately 49%, providing a stable base of recurring business. SFS contributed around 34% and continued to be the fastest growing segment, driven by strong OEM traction and expanding customer programs. During the year, SFS revenue crossed rupees 100 crore milestone, reaching 108 crore, and registered a strong growth of 64% year on year. CSS contributed approximately 17%, supported by the steady demand across industrial and mobility applications. During the year, we successfully entered into offshore wind turbine segment through the development and supply of critical fasteners for global OEMs, making an important expansion of our addressable market. We also commenced supply of the high-tensile bolt to a global wind OEM in India from our Chennai facility during Q4. From an operational perspective, we continue to focus on productivity enhancement and digital transformation initiatives, including implementation of IoT solution on the shop floor and commencement of SAP S/4HANA and implementation as part of our broader digitalization journey. On a sustainability front, we align to our business objective with long-term ESG global goals by placing an order of 1.8 megawatt open access solar power plant for captive consumption. With that, I will now hand over to our Chief Finance Officer, Mr. Giridhar, who will take you through the financial highlights for the period under review. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jalan. Welcome to the earnings call today. Let me provide a brief overview of the financial performance for the quarter and financial year ended 2026. For the quarter under review, consolidated revenue from operations stood at around 95 crores, reflecting a growth of 26% year on year. EBITDA for the quarter stood around 17 crores, up 31% year on year, with EBITDA margins at 17.55%. Net profit stood at 12 crores, representing a growth of 22% year on year, with PAT margins at 12.9%. For the full year FY26, revenue from operations stood at 314 crores, reflecting a healthy growth of 32% year on year. EBITDA for the year stood at 52 crores, up 27% year on year, with EBITDA margins at 16.51%. Net profit before exceptional items stood at 37 crores, registering a growth of 35% year on year, PAT margins at 11.64%, and net profit after exceptional items stood at 36 crores, registering a growth of 32% year on year, PAT margins at 11.29%. With this, we can now open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have first question from the line of Lakshmi Narayan KG from Tunga Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just want to understand in terms of wind energy. I think we have a strong presence there, and I understand that the growth has been very strong. So just want to understand as we look into the forthcoming year, what kind of order book we have on that and what kind of revenue visibility as well as the growth visibility we have on the wind energy front.
Okay, so for wind energy, of course, the market situation is positive, and because of Gala's strong base in this sector, we are seeing good growth. In wind energy, approximately 60-65% of our sales is coming from India market, and about 30-35% is export. And as a company, we are looking to grow 20-25% sector in overall revenue term. And in wind also, we are looking to grow around 25-30% in short term for our fasteners and spring category.
Got it. There's another question is in terms of your Chennai ramp up. Just want to understand, what kind of revenue ramp up we have done in Chennai facility, and what do you expect that for the forthcoming year?
Sure. Yeah. So actually, we started the trial run in last year, and customer visits, audit, all this started in the beginning of the last year. And July end, we made a first dispatch to Vestas as a PPAP log. And from August, we started ramp up 1 crore, 2 crore, 3 crore, 3 crore, 4 crore and 5 crore. So we reached to almost a 5 crore, the phase 1 capacity of per month, which is approximately 60 crore annually. And now we are seeing the similar run rate as of now we will going to have in April, May, June. And parallelly, we started the phase 2 capex, which we will be completing by June and July. And that again will add another 5 crore per month capacity or annual capacity of additional 60 crore. And the ramp up of that similar fashion we are planning to do in August, September month. And in this current year, we are seeing that by 9 or 10 crore we will be reaching in last quarter per month. Then overall capacity, annual capacity is 120 crore per annum.
Okay. And in Chennai, what are the products that we actually manufacture?
Yeah, so basically fastening division, studs, we manufacture, and we develop the bolt from M27, M32, M72. And that bolt also we got approval from different customer, and that product also we started manufacturing there.
Okay. So another question in terms of our growth, and I think last time when we spoke, you said that there has been additional stock we need to keep in Chennai. Therefore, our cash flows were a little constrained in the first half. So just want to understand from a cash flow point of view, though we generate a very healthy growth in top line as well as in terms of bottom line, What is
correct.
Your view on higher cash flow in terms of higher cash flow conversion, or because of higher inventory which we need to keep, and in terms of export, this would continue to remain at this level?
Okay. So basically, in Chennai, when we are ramping up from 0 to 5 crore or 5 to 10 crore, during this period, we are saying we will be going to have some additional inventory in Chennai during this ramp up. But otherwise, overall inventory level are at 103 days, and we see it should not go above 103 days, and we were trying to we can reduce this inventory days by some 10 days or so.
Okay, and in general, what is how you view this cash flow, sir? Because it's a balance between revenue growth and providing inventory as well as managing it. So, what how are you thinking about increasing the cash flows to EBITDA?
We, as of now, our guidance is we will maintain or we will try to improve by 10% or so on year on year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in.
Yeah.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star M to ask a question. The next question from the line of Arpit Jain from RRR Investment Advisory Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So my first question is, as in Q3 con call, you had mentioned that we are looking for acquiring 5 to 10 acres of land, either at Vada plant or for Vada and or any other location. So could you please share an update on whether the land has now been finalized and by when the next expansion can start?
Yeah, a good question, Arpit, and nice that you remembered, and this is a good follow-up question. The land is one important thing on which we are working very aggressively. We shortlisted few land parcels in Vada, and we are in advanced discussion, commercial discussion, and with two or three plots rather than three plots, and it may get finalized in a month time. Parallelly in Chennai, we are in touch with the SIPCOT authorities, and we are seeing in very near future they will be opening some more land parcel in SIPCOT. So our preference is to get some land parcel in SIPCOT rather than a ownership basis. So we are quite close to in closing this land, but it's still not close. That is the fact.
So by we can expect by May end or June.
At least June, because land, apart from closing, then we need to do some due diligence and some paper notice, and closing the deal at least take a 45 days minimum. So maybe June and earliest, or maybe July, not before June.
Okay, understood. And my second question is on Chennai plant. As in Q4, I think means we have achieved our monthly run rate of 5 crores per month, right?
Yeah.
So when we will means when the phase 2 will commence, means our phase 2 full facility will get commence, then after that also you are saying that 5 crore per month will be achieved from that also, right? So after
correct.
That, once everything will be fully utilized, so we have land in Chennai facility for further expansion, or we will look into it afterwards. So what is the scenario if capacity utilization will peak out then?
Yeah. So at earlier call I mentioned the overall land parcel what we have, we are utilizing the same, and we will be having a maximum capacity of 120 crore annually. And after this expansion, we will not left with any land. But as a backup plan, we have option to move out the stud facility to any long-term lease-based facility, and do continue expansion of the bolt manufacturing in the current facilities. So that backup plan is there. And as we see the progress, we may go with this option for immediate 1 or 2 year requirement.
Sir, I missed you. So please, can you please repeat the same thing again? So
okay. So we don't have any land after. Yeah, we don't have any land after we complete the phase two expansion. That means the 120 crore per annum. Number two, as a backup plan, we have. So this in 26-27, we are targeting approximately 80 crore something from the Chennai. So next to next year again, we have scope to achieve 80-120 crore from Chennai. This is one. Second thing, for expansion, we are looking for land, but otherwise a backup plan. We can have a long lease place. There we can save the stud manufacturing and we can do in-house capacity expansion for the wool manufacturing.
Okay, okay. Understood, understood. That's it from my side. All the best.
Sure.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants that you press star and one to ask a question. The next question from the line of Rudras Gupta from Navneet Invest Trust. Please go ahead.
Very good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand, sir, on the WADA utilization. I think we still have some space there to be able to utilize that facility better according to the presentation. So what is the limitation there to be able to achieve optimized utilization, if I may ask?
Okay. So basically, we don't have additional land there in WADA. We already constructed what is the FSI available. Number two, we have some capacity in terms of plant manufacturing capacity. Again, that capacity vary from product to product. So we have some capacity in coil spring division, so for say. And in this spring, we are more or less optimum utilized, which is almost 80% approximately. And same for the fastening division at WADA, number one. Number two, but in again, there is always scope two way. One is a productivity improvement, and second way is some line balancing and adding in some machine or adding some outsourcing option, we can free up some capacity. So with combination of this all, we are thinking the current year, whatever number we are targeting, we should be able to optimize our capacity utilization in WADA.
Fair. So, sir, assuming that you are actually able to grow on a target of 20-25% next year, even Chennai will get optimally utilized by then. Is that a fair understanding?
No, no. So, Chennai, we are thinking current year, first 4-6 months, we were going to use more capacity of phase one, which is 5 crore per month. And the second half, will we start touching 6, 7, 8, 9 number per month. Month on month, we will be increasing our load. And overall, we are seeing 80 crore something from Chennai. And by end of the year, we will going to have a capacity of 10 crore per month or 120 crore per month. Then we are going to have a spare capacity for next year, which is approximately 40 crore plus minus.
Okay. So it should be good for us till FY28 as well.
May not be complete year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, may not be the for the complete whole year. That's why I mentioned that if required, we have a backup. So by the time, so if we able to conclude on some land and otherwise, we can shift the fastening on the long lease and we can do expansion of bolt manufacturing in-house. So that is some backup plan which already there. So we will not miss on any order. That is our strategy.
Okay. And so this land that we are targeting to get, is there a certain kind of an predetermined capex directionally that we have in mind? And also, how early can we get the facility up and running if we are able to, let's say, acquire the land over the next couple of months like you are indicating?
Correct. So apart from land, normally the time horizon is at least 6 months or something for getting the initial approval. Parallelly, we can start the land development, land filling and boundary work and all. For that, you don't need any approval. And complete construction and taking approval take at least 9 months to 12 months. So you can fairly estimate 1 year to 15 months something. You can fairly estimate. And parallelly, we are ordering for the plant and other machines, the erection of something happening and taking the final approval. So 15 months something plus minus 3 months we have to consider safely. And as far as the capex is concerned, yes, we already planned for in our internal budget. and considering our internal accrual and the borrowing capacity, will be funding from our internal accrual and the from the bank borrowing.
So what's the total, sir, if you can give me a sense of the whole capex over these 15 to 18 months on the new plant that we are targeting?
For the approximately, you can say, very rough figure, that depend upon when we get the land and when we start the complete development of the building and the plant and machinery. So for the current year, we are seeing approximately 50 crore something we may be able to deploy, plus minus, depend when we finalize the land or able to start the construction of the building.
Okay, okay. And
normally, broadly, the ratio of sale to turnover, we have to keep approximately direct machine 30% and the other utilities and all something 5 to 10%. So 40%, 35-40% something which you have to make investment in the capex.
Okay. And sir, on the margin, if I may, we are almost at a 5-year low on EBITDA margins at 16.5% for this year. Is this a combination of the mix? Is it this underutilization at Chennai still? How would you want to really quantify that? Or is it the current inflationary pressure on raw materials?
No, basically, see, if you compare it with last year, that EBITDA margins is 17.1% or something, the drop is essentially mainly on account of the forex loss, which is almost 1%, which is around 3.23 crores. That has impacted the actually EBITDA margins. Otherwise, there is not a major change in the product mix or in the R&D contribution.
Okay. And then how are we currently being able to deal with the inflation that's happening in the underlying commodities? Because we must be reasonably impacted, I guess, from what we are seeing. Is there a sense of where we are in terms of impact on margin? How much are we absorbing? How much are we able to pass through?
So basically, raw material is 100% pass through. So, and of course, currently, because of gas and some other issues, this process costs have also increased.
Correct.
So, with the lag effect, we are confident to get this price increase from our customer, and for which we already started discussion since beginning of April itself. So, there will be some lag effect, but whatever costs are increasing, particularly commodity and some extraordinary impact in gas costs, we will be passing through the same to our customer and get the price revision.
Okay, so there could be quarterly volatility in the pass-through, but we are reasonably confident of the system accepting it eventually.
On an annualized basis, we will definitely see that whatever is being incurred is recovered. Same situation happened at the time of COVID also. With the lag effect, we could get all the price increase related to the different cost increases at that time also.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question from the line of Lakshmi Narayan KG from Tunga Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. Sir, in terms of the different product groups which you have, is it fair to assume that the SSS has the highest margin followed by CSS and followed by the next one?
I think on margin front, broadly, all the products are at the similar profit margin in terms of EBITDA level. I think because all the products, like particularly SFS and DSS, we have exports also, domestic customer also. In coil springs, in the past, we have done a lot of import substitutes, so where also the margins were good. So in general, I think broadly margins are at the same 17 to 19% for all the product groups currently.
Okay. And you know, the growth you have got, is it because you got it from some other competition that you actually got the revenue growth from? Can you just explain how you managed to show a good growth for the last 2 years, and I mean, how the growth has become? Of course, you go deeper into the existing company, and also you win new business from the existing as well as new business or new clients altogether. Can you just explain me the journey?
Yes. So I think the growth is combined effect of all the areas that you mentioned. So definitely every year we are seeing at least 10 to 15% growth coming purely from the new customers. So mm-hmm. we still have a lot of unexplored and potential customers globally. And we are seeing addition of new customers happening for the fasteners and spring commodities. Secondly, particularly in fasteners and in the spring family, we added new products like Galloc wedge lock washers in the spring family and bolts and nuts in the fastener family. So we are seeing good interaction from the existing customer where we were supplying them the springs or studs. And there is a keen interest on adding new products like bolts and Galloc wedge lock washer for this category of products. And of course, the organic growth is happening particularly in India, which is also helping us to grow the existing customer, existing parts business. So I think 10% of new customer addition, about 10% to 12% of new parts from existing customer like bolts or Galloc or even retractor spring, and organic growth of 5 to 7% happening in the organic business with the existing parts has resulted in this 30% growth last year. And same way, we continue to focus on business development and increasing wallet share with existing customers to grow 20-25% in coming years as well.
In terms of CSS business, right, who are the key competition you have either in India or outside?
For which product group?
For the CSS business, the Spring group.
In CSS, we have mainly two competitors. There are a Japanese company, NHK Spring, which is having manufacturing plant in Aurangabad and Gurgaon. And there is an Indian company, Tampuri Pomappa, which is having manufacturing plant at multiple locations with major head office in Bangalore. And still there are some imports happening, which we are focusing on import substitutes, which are mainly happening from European market, still in the Indian market.
In terms of growth, right? Is there a particular product group you're actually seeing higher growth among these CSS, SSS, and CSS, which you expect to grow faster this in the next 1 to 3 years?
I think in fasteners, we are seeing comparatively larger growth or faster growth compared to DSS and CSS because as the fastener market size is really very large, it's 100 billion market, of course, at the global level. And Gala is focusing on increasing the addressable market since we started this journey. So with that, we were addressing approximately 1 billion of the global market, in $1 billion. And now with bolts and nuts, we are addressing 2.5 billion of the global market. And our fastener sales is approximately 100 crores we crossed in FY26. So fasteners has, of course, much larger application, much larger value potential for each customer. So compared to DSS and CSS, we are seeing faster growth in fasteners. But at the same time, we are seeing really good opportunities in DSS and CSS also to grow in future as well.
Sure. I think one point which you touched upon is the introduction of new products. Just want to understand at the company level, do you actually track it that we need to bring out X new products every year because all the products go through testing, etc. So do you have a number and what is that say?
So I think in terms of new products, basically, of course, there are two angles to this. One is whatever existing products we have developed, we still have a lot of opportunities to grow. But we are more customer-driven. For example, when we started this studs manufacturing, we understood that most of the stud manufacturers in renewable energy, including wind and hydropower segment, they are using lot of bolts. And similarly, when we were developing our market for studs in industrial application, we identified that potential for studs is very less in the industrial application, but their requirement is coming more from the bolt side. So based on the customer situation and our market study, we are adding new products within the existing family of products. And at the end of the day, we are looking every year or every 2-3 years, we have to add some product family in our product category so that we are increasing the addressable market size. For example, this spring is a very niche category of market and addressable global market size is only about 2,000 crores. But 5 years back, we added Galloc wedge lock washer, which has additional 1,500 of the global market, and we are competing mainly with European producers. So we'll continue this focus of adding new products within the existing product family and see that this growth and higher addressable market objectives are categorized.
Sorry. And do you also have
sorry for sorry for interrupting Lakshmi Narayan question. Sir, please come in queue for the follow-up question. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star 1 to ask a question. The next question from the line of Arpit Jain from RR Investment Advisory Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So thanks for giving me opportunity again. So there is one suit filed regarding Weblog Washer. So could you please give an update regarding that?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, so there was suit filed regarding Weblog Washers.
Yeah, yeah, this is the, regarding the patent question. Though no, the case is still going on, still the arguments have not taken place. We have been getting only adjustments. The next hearing itself is slated in June only. Do not much movement has taken place. Only submissions have been going on, but no arguments have taken place at all.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question from the line of Danesh Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have few questions to ask. So first is, sir, this SFS, which is Special Fastening Solutions, a business has crossed 1,000 INR million revenue in this year with 64% year-on-year growth. So just wanted to know, sir, what are the key growth drivers expected for this segment over the next 2 to 3 years?
Sure. So I think there are 2-3 growth drivers in SFS business, what is being done. So of course, with most of the customers still, we have between 10 to 25% market share. And this share of business can be increased to 25 to 30-35% because they will always keep couple of sources to diversify the supply chain risk because of very large buying. So there is still room to grow with the existing customer for existing products. Second important point is we just started a plant in Chennai where we are manufacturing high tensile bolts which are also used in wind turbine sector. And we started getting approval from the Indian OEM and we started supplying in quarter four. So we just started this journey and we see next 2 to 3 years ramp up happening in the bolt business growth. And once we stabilize the supply chain in India, we'll also focus on the global OEMs for Europe and US market. We are already supplying the studs. Most important is till now our major growth was driven by the renewable energy business. But because of bolts and nuts, we are seeing a lot of opportunities within industrial sector where we are seeing opportunities coming from gas turbine sector. We are seeing opportunities in railways, construction equipment, mining equipment and agriculture equipment where we already started the market development and already started getting really interesting inquiries and some orders have been frozen recently. So with industrial sector where Gala has very strong track record of customers because of disc spring relationship for over 25-30 years, we are seeing this bolt addition as a product will really help us to grow. So I think SFS growth journey definitely will continue at a good pace because of the 3 reasons mentioned.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. It was a really good answer from you. Sir, as you said regarding the wind turbine fasteners, I can see that wind turbine fastener supplies have actually commenced on for global OEMs. So just wanted to understand the scale of opportunity which is expected from the offshore wind over the medium term for the company.
Yes. So we just entered offshore last year, which is April 26, with the global OEM in Europe. And in short term, in 2 to 3 years, we see offshore wind fasteners should contribute about 10% of our fastener sales. So that is the visibility as of now we have. But of course, we are working internally to add more offshore wind customers and see this business to continue to grow as well.
Okay, sir. Noted. One last question, sir. Sir, what is the target export contribution you are expecting for the company over the next 2 to 3 years? Currently, you are having something around 35%.
I think export will continue to be between 35 to 40% of our sales, and depending on the new product addition, new customer addition, this may vary on year-on-year basis. But broadly, this will remain between 35 to 40% of our total sales.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Lakshmi Narayan KG from Tunga Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. I just want to understand, in terms of metallurgy, do you also do powder metallurgy or do you do the regular one in terms of making plastic? Or do you intend to also doing powder metallurgy?
No. So we basically buy material in a sheet, coil or wire form or rod form. And from there, all the production manufacturing process start. We don't use powder metallurgy.
Okay. That's all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Tanya Arora, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead. Tanya Arora, your line is unmuted. Please ask your question.
Hello. Hi. Congratulations on your results. Just had a few questions. So the first one is on the hedging policy. So for our Euro and USD exposure, so I just wanted to know what percentage of our exports are naturally hedged and what is the current hedging policy like?
As far as hedging is concerned, earlier, we used to cover 70% of the total estimated export collection. We used to undertake forward covers. But now we have, there's been a change in the methodology. We have reduced that to 40%. So up to 40% of the total estimated export collection, we are undertaking forward covers. And there is, as far as Euro, this is as far as Euro is concerned. US also, we follow the same methodology, but we also have numbers which has got a natural hedge. So net of the US exports and net of import, we again, that's the policy we follow, up to 40% of the total estimated collection, we undertake forward covers, which is covering a period of 12 months from now.
Okay, got it. And so on the recent tariff changes, have they created any opportunities in terms of exports or any additional customer engagements?
You are talking about EU-India FTA or any other tariff?
Yeah, EU-India.
Yeah, so I think for Gala products which we are exported to Europe, currently 3.7% is the import duty which is paid by our customers. And I think the FTA amount which will be implemented in early in Jan 27. And by this implementation, the import duty will be zero on our products in Europe. But on other side, there is an impact possible of CBAM on which European countries are working on. So we see this benefit, what will come as a FTA, will get nullified with this CBAM additional cost which our customers have to pay for imports from India. But during this process, I think there is a very positive feeling for European countries towards India. So that should definitely help Indian companies, including Gala, going forward in mid to long term.
Got it, sir. And lastly, just on the Chennai plant utilization, so I guess we were at almost 35% for FY26. So do we expect this to move forward to, let's say, 70% in this FY27?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, our overall capacity is going to be 120 crore by year end. And this gradually we will be utilizing the our phase 2 capacity. And hence we are seeing approximately 80 crore something will be achieving the manufacturing or sale value in next year, which is going to be approximately 67-70% of 120 crore.
Perfect, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star event to ask a question. Next question from the line of Rasha, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Rasha, your line is unmuted. Please ask your question. So we didn't get any response from the line of Mr. Rasha. We take the next question from the line of Arpit Jain from RR Investment Advisory Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. One last question from my side. As you have mentioned in starting of the call that you are looking for two, three plots in Vada, right? So that plots will be on lease basis or it will be in the name of Vada only? Means we will own those plots or we will lease it?
Yeah, so basically we are evaluating which are in the final stage. These are the two, three plots which are under evaluation and we will finalize one or two plots depend upon the overall size of the plot which we are able to finalize. And these are going to be on our own plot. So in Vada basically there's a industrial plots are there which you can buy from the seller.
Got it. And in Chennai, the backup plan, we will leave if we will need
yeah,
the plot,
so,
right?
Yeah, so, correct. So in Chennai, basically, the SIPCOT is a very good authority and they provide a very good developed plot with the lot of infrastructure. And there we have planned to take the SIPCOT long lease plot or as a backup plan, we can use a already developed plant and building where we can move the stud manufacturing facility.
Okay. And as our margins saw a bit of dip this year from 17.5 to 16.5 this year, right? So when can we expect our margins to get back to 18-19% kind of number?
Basically, this dip, primarily the dip was only because of this forex loss of 1%, which is around 3.23 crores. Which has impacted the current year's margin. But going ahead, considering there is no further volatility, we expect the margins to stabilize between 17 to 19%.
By FY27 end, right?
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
We have next question from the line of Sujal Jain from Walford PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just had one question. Did we get any benefit from currency depreciation or any currency impact in our numbers for quarter four?
As I said, we normally see a currency. Where currency depreciation is concerned, that we got a benefit of the top line also. Definitely, there is benefit is there. But at the same time, it also because we undertake power sales also, so we resulted in non-cash losses. So, yeah, but benefit is definitely there in the top line because of the currency depreciation.
Okay, sir. So any number that you can share in terms of like the benefit? If you can quantify.
I don't have the exact numbers, but
I will just answer this in a separate way. So basically, there is a currency depreciation which gives the benefit in the short term. But that again, order to order, we have to, in the mid to long term, we have to keep reviewing with the customer. The other side, there is an inflation and cost increase also. Like, for example, diesel got increased or other raw material costs got increased. So there is always a time lag gap, like a quarter to quarter is very difficult to say if there is a net profit or loss because of the currency and overall cost. But mid to long term, we see because we keep on passing the cost to the customer, they also keep on considering the foreign exchange gain or loss also while readjusting the prices. So net, we see in overall, we should be able to pass the cost to the customers.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you for your answer and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR manager at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your hands. Thank you.
Thank you.